Okay, so have you ever like really thought about it? Like really thought about why the universe seems to follow such precise laws? I mean, the constants, the forces, it's almost too perfect.
It really makes you wonder. And today, we're not just going to, take the standard model at face value. We're going deeper. We're diving into a framework that actually suggests a fundamental intent, like at the very beginning of everything.
Whoa, intent. That's a pretty loaded term, right?
It is, definitely. But the cool thing about this framework, the information intent nexus, is that it tries to ground that intent in actual physics.
Okay, so help me out here. When we're talking intent in this context, what are we really talking about? Like, what was going on back then at the very, very beginning?
Imagine it as like this fundamental drive, like built into existence itself, this urge towards self-organization, towards exploration, and ultimately towards complexity. The information intent nexus basically says this intent was the very first thing, like even before matter, energy, space-time as we know it.
So it's like the why before the what.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to unpack today. How did this intent lead to the universe we see today with all its laws and structures and everything? We're going to look at the science behind it. Really dig into the nitty-gritty of this framework.
I'm all in, and we'll be drawing from, the incredibly detailed research and ideas you've put forward, right?
Absolutely. We'll be dissecting everything. The nature of this primordial intent, those fascinating failed attempts that happened early on, the role of constraints, and how it all ties into the effective Lagrangian, the thing that basically defines the laws of physics as we know them.
Okay, buckle up, everyone. So, first things first, let's rewind all the way back, even before the Big Bang, to what this framework calls the proto-universe. What was it like back then?
All right, so picture this. It's before inflation, right? No matter, no energy as we know it, even space-time, like the fabric of space and time, hadn't fully formed yet. The only thing there, the only driver, was this fundamental intent.
Whoa, okay. Just intent, nothing else. It's kind of mind-blowing, right? So how do we even begin to think about this mathematically?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. The framework actually uses a simplified version of Einstein's field equations, the famous ones. G sub mu nu equals alpha t sub mu nu.
Yeah, okay, I remember those from like Physics 101. Kinda. But I have a feeling there's a twist here.
The twist is how we interpret those terms, those symbols, in this context. Take G sub mu nu, the Einstein tensor. Usually it describes the curvature of space-time, right? But in the proto-universe, where space-time is just emerging, it means something different. It's like the very first structuring of that proto-space, directly from the intent.
So it's not space being warped by matter, like we usually think of it, but more like space being created by intent.
Exactly. It's like the blueprint of space being drawn up. Now, what about T sub mu nu, the energy momentum tensor? That usually describes energy and matter, but in the proto-universe, those don't exist yet.
Right, so what does it represent in this context?
The framework says it embodies the intent itself, the driving force. It's the source of everything, the will to exist, you could say.
Wow. And what about that alpha? The constant in the equation. What's its role in all of this?
That's like the strength of the intent, like how effectively it translates into creating space-time. It's a kind of coupling constant connecting the intent to the fabric of reality as it starts to form.
Okay, so to recap, this equation is saying that space itself wasn't just there, it was brought into being by this intent.
Exactly. That's a fundamental idea in this framework, creation from intent.
Okay, so we've got this proto-universe driven by intent with space-time starting to emerge. What happens next? This is where I think the idea of failed attempts comes in, right?
You got it. So the proto-universe starts to explore different possibilities, driven by that same intent to exist, to explore, to become complex. Think of it like it's trying to figure out how to make matter, how to make things work.
So, like, the universe is experimenting, trying different things out.
Exactly. Imagine it's testing out different laws of physics, different starting conditions, different ways to organize itself. But of course, not everything works.
And those are the failed attempts.
Right. Many of those early explorations didn't lead to stable, lasting outcomes. But, and this is crucial, those failures weren't for nothing.
I see where you're going with this. They left something behind, right? Information.
Bingo. Each failed attempt left behind a piece of information, a constraint. We call it C sub I. It's like the universe learns, okay, that didn't work.
So it's like a cosmic what not to do list, constantly growing.
You could say that. And this negative knowledge is super important. It's the foundation for what comes next.
Because then the universe can build on that knowledge, right? Only try things that haven't already failed.
Precisely. And that's how we get to the effect of Lagrangian, the L sub-effective. That's the mathematical thing that describes the laws of physics we observe today. But it's not like it was there from the start, fixed and unchanging.
So it evolved, changed over time.
Exactly. We start with a simple, maybe even almost empty, Lagrangian L sub-zero, and then those constraints, those C sub-I's, modify it. They're adding on. It's like the universe is taking notes, updating its code.
Whoa, that's a cool way to think about it. Updating its code. So are those constraints like actual mathematical terms in the Lagrangian?
Yes. They act on the fundamental fields, the things that make up everything. They basically restrict what those fields can do, what configurations they can take. They're like guardrails, guiding the universe towards stable outcomes.
So instead of just anything happening, those constraints make sure the universe evolves in a way that makes sense, that leads to stability and complexity.
Right. And from this effect of Lagrangian, all modified and shaped by those constraints, we get the equations of motion, the rules that govern how everything in the universe behaves.
So basically, the laws of physics aren't just random. They're the result of the universe's learning process. All those early trials and errors. It's like the universe figured out what works.
Exactly. And that might be the reason why the universe seems so finely tuned for life. Only the combinations that work would survive, encoded in the effective Lagrangian. It's like a cosmic selection process.
This is blowing my mind. So we've gone from intent to a structured universe with laws that make sense. But how does this framework explain things we see today, like dark matter, or the role of the electron, for example?
Great question. Let's start with dark matter, one of the biggest mysteries in cosmology. The framework suggests that dark matter could actually be the what not to do information, the leftovers from those failed attempts.
Whoa. Okay, so it's not some exotic new particle, but a kind of memory of what didn't work in the early universe.
Exactly. Those failed attempts, while they didn't form stable matter, still had energy. And that energy still interacts gravitationally, even if we can't see it directly.
So it's like a gravitational echo of those early failures still shaping the universe today.
Amazing.
What about the electron? You mentioned it had a special role in this framework.
The electron is like the universe's explorer, driven by that same fundamental intent, but now focused on understanding itself. Through its interactions, it's constantly probing, mapping out the structure of reality.
Mapping reality. That sounds profound. How does it do that?
Through its interactions with other particles, like photons. Every interaction is like a little measurement, a data point. The framework even suggests that Feynman diagrams, you know, those diagrams we use to represent particle interactions, could be seen as feedback loops in this mapping process.
Whoa, okay, so it's like the universe is using the electron to gather information about itself. What about other particles, like gluons and pions, those things that hold the nucleus together? Do they fit into this picture too?
Absolutely. Gluons and pions are like the universe injecting energy to make sure those particles form and interact. They're helping to build and maintain structure driven by that same underlying intent.
So it's like the universe is actively involved, constantly working to figure things out, not just passively following some fixed set of rules.
Exactly. And this idea of intent even extends to our own individual intentions. The framework suggests that our own free will, our ability to make choices, is like a tiny echo of that primordial intent.
So our choices are connected to the very force that started the universe. That's a pretty powerful thought. What about some of the newer ideas in physics, like entropic gravity? Does that connect to this framework at all?
It does, actually. Entropic gravity says that gravity might emerge from information, from entropy. And remember, the framework suggests that dark matter is basically information, too. So maybe the weight of that information, of those failed attempts, is what causes the gravitational effects we attribute to dark matter.
So it all ties together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Information, intent, gravity, dark matter. It's like a whole new way of looking at the universe.
Right. And there are other fascinating connections, too. Like, the idea of quantum holograms suggests that the universe might store information in incredibly efficient ways. And entangled light shows how information can be encoded and transmitted at a fundamental level. Even high-energy neutrinos could be carrying information across the universe.
It's like we're starting to see a bigger picture emerging.
Mm-hmm.
All these different areas of physics hinting at an information-centric universe shaped by intent.
Exactly. And the laws of physics, those fundamental rules, they're not just arbitrary. They're the result of the universe's journey, its exploration, its learning process.
So to wrap things up, what's the main takeaway from this deep dive into the information intent nexus?
The key idea is that this framework offers a completely new perspective on the universe, a unifying view. Space-time, the laws of physics, dark matter, even our own intentions, they can all be traced back to this primordial intent and the information the universe gathered along the way.
It's a universe that's dynamic, almost alive. It learns, it adapts, it creates. It's amazing, really.
And it raises some profound questions. If the universe is fundamentally about information and intent, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for our place in the cosmos? What new questions should we be asking?
Those are great questions. I think this framework opens up a whole new world of possibilities, both in science and in how we think about ourselves and our place in the universe.
Exactly. It's a shift in perspective that could revolutionize how we understand reality itself. And for you, our listener, I leave you with this. How does this new understanding change your view of the universe? And what questions does it spark in your mind? It's a journey of exploration that's just beginning.